If you look in the hymn book and see the date of that song when it was published and so forth, it was in 1962. And in 1962, Virginia and I were privileged to go to a Sword of the Lord conference in Cedar Lake, Indiana, sponsored by the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. At that time, we were not independent Baptists. I'm not mentioning which we were, but we were Baptists in the South, okay? But anyway, Brother Devin, we heard him sing for the first time in public that song, So Little Time. And I had read two or three of Dr. Rice's books, and they're pretty tough. In fact, I thought he might be the meanest person in the world. I mean, you know, he can get real mean. And but as he was singing that song and as he preached, there were always big tears coming down his eyes, okay? So he did say some tough things, but they were good things, okay? But they were the right things, biblical things and so forth. But couldn't help but think about that as he mentioned that. It is a great blessing to be here at China Lake Baptist Church. And in fact, that's superfluous for me to say, because at my age, it's good to be anywhere in the world, okay? But it is, and we love the Porters. They've been very good friends for many, many years since they were serving in Mexico with they're sent out, of course, by their church and serving with BIMI. And, of course, we have known the Bales for many, many years, and they have not only been a great blessing to us, but they have been a blessing to people all over the world. I want you to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture concerning world evangelization. Since today is World Evangelization Day here at China Lake Baptist Church, then we could not think of a better text than the Great Commission. And that's found in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, if you would. Turn to that passage, okay? Matthew chapter 28. And every time I look at this particular passage, I have to think, this is the greatest summit meeting of all times. Amen. Now there's been a lot of meetings of a lot of different leaders of nations and so forth. After World War I, they decided they were going to form something that would end all wars. It didn't work, okay? And after World War II, there were other big conferences and so forth. And there's been a lot of summit meetings, high-profile meetings. But there's never been a more important profile meeting than the one that we're going to read about. So look at it, if you would. Then, and this is right after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said down in verse 10, look at verse 10 for just a minute, okay? Then said Jesus unto them, the ladies that came out to the tomb, okay? Be not afraid. Go to my brethren, that they may, I'm sorry, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they may go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So after his resurrection, and the ladies came out of the tomb to see him and so forth, and then Jesus said, okay, go tell my disciples, I'm going into Galilee, and I want you to meet me there, okay? Now look at verse 16. Then after the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, and that's exactly where Jesus had told them to go, okay? And here you find only 11 disciples. One of them, Judas, has betrayed him, has committed suicide and so forth. So for the first time, always before this, it's the 12, but here you have the 11. And they went up into this mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17 says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, they're with the disciples, okay? And they've seen all of these miracles that he did while he was living, and they had met him in the room there when the door was shut, and he walked through the door and so forth, all these things. And yet, even then, some doubted. We're slow learners, okay? And by the way, even today, we still are, okay? And when Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Dear Lord, we thank you for the Bible, the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts today through your Word. I have no idea what you might want to do in different hearts. But I pray, dear Lord, as I read this Scripture and as I preach to others, that I'll be preaching to myself. And that you'll speak to me as well as these people today. And we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You think about it. Jesus left heaven in all of its glory. He came to this earth born as a servant in reality. Born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect life. From the time he was born until the time that he breathed his last breath, he had no sin whatsoever. Now the Bible teaches us that he was tempted in all manners such as we are. But aren't you glad for that next statement? Amen. Yet without sin. He was the impeccable born child of God. And he had no sin whatsoever. But when he died the death of a criminal. They crucified him. That's the kind of death that was prepared for the worst of people. And the Apostle Paul explains it when he says this. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Amen. Now think about what that verse means. He who knew no sin became sin for us. No one else that ever lived could have died for the sins of the world. And the reason for that is simply this. All of us have our own sin. I could not die for your sin. You could not die for my sin, okay? Because we have our own sin. But Jesus had no sin. And he who had no sin became sin. Now, be very careful, okay? He did not become a sinner. But he became sin. All of the sins of the whole world were placed upon him. Think about this for just a minute individually. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, my sins were placed upon him. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you can think back when you got saved, when you trusted the Lord. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, then his righteousness was placed upon us.
Amen.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God.
Amen.
In other words, we have what we call the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. We don't have any righteousness of our own. Amen. All of us are sinners. If we got what we deserve, we'd all spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell.
Right.
But when we trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then his righteousness was placed upon us and we are justified. In other words, Jesus is saying, and this is what justification means, not guilty.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute. But because of the righteousness placed upon us by Jesus Christ, then Jesus can look at us and say, he's justified. He is not guilty. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
So we find Jesus dying on Calvary, suffering, bleeding, and dying. And the very last word that we hear him say is this. It is finished.
Amen.
And that's like an artist finishing a painting and putting the final touches to it and looking at it and saying, it's all done. It's finished.
Amen.
It's like that glorious day when you make the last payment on your car. Amen. Like a day when you make the last payment after 30 years on a house. Amen. And you say, wow, it's done. Praise the Lord. In other words, sealed, it's all paid for.
Amen.
And thank God when Jesus Christ died upon Calvary's cross, he could say without any shadow of a doubt, it is finished. I have done everything my Father sent me to do. I have overcome sin. I have lived a sinless life. I have done everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved. It is finished. And by the way, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he did everything that needed to be done in order for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that has ever lived or will ever live to be saved.
Amen.
Thank God the Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
It's finished. Oh, by the way, aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm finished?
Amen.
Huh? No. He wasn't finished.
Amen.
It's finished. And they're going to bury him, okay? They're going to put him in a tomb. By the way, contrary to the horrible teaching of some people, he did not just swoon, okay?
Right.
He died. They put him in a tomb. They sealed the tomb. But thank God on Sunday morning when they went out to look for his body, they could not find the body. And all they could hear was the angel that said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. Go see the place where he lay. Passed in. He used to be there. He's not there anymore.
Amen.
Thank God for the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Now think about it. This Jesus, now he's meeting with his disciples. Okay? He's meeting with his disciples. And he's saying to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What happened on that day? And I believe this from the depth of my heart. Jesus met with those disciples, and he's saying to them, everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved has already been done. I have finished the work and so forth. Now, I am committing into your hand. I'm committing into your hand this gospel. In other words, I am designating you as my representatives to take this good news to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth. I like the way it's put in Mark's gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
You know, I meet people every once in a while and they say, but brother says, my problem is I don't understand the Bible. Okay, how can you misunderstand that?
Right.
Go. You know what that means? Go ye. You know who that means? Yeah, that means something.
Amen.
Go ye into all the world. Does that tell us for it? Mm-hmm. And what's it supposed to do? Go ye into all the world and just be good friends with them, play soccer with them, make friendship. No. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach what?
The gospel.
To who?
To every creature.
I mean, you know, you'd have to be like one of our former presidents to think that, what does this mean? You know, what does that? Yeah, it means exactly what it said.
Amen.
You know, if we're not careful, sometimes we'll read the Bible and it's very clear and we want it to say something other than what it says. The Bible, God does not stutter. Amen. And the Bible is very clear, okay? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at three things real quickly. And then I want to ask you a question. Can we evangelize the world in our generation? Can we evangelize the world in our generation? By the way, the Great Commission is not a suggestion. It's not a request. It's a command, okay? I mean, Jesus said it very clearly. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, think with me about three things. Look, number one, look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Number one, I want you to think about the power for world evangelization. And the power for world evangelization does not rest in a man. It does not rest in an organization. It is in the Holy Spirit of God. You remember Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of Luke, Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. In other words, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. Without me, you can do nothing. Okay? In other words, Jesus said, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and 3,000 people got saved after the preaching of the Apostle Peter and so forth. Great things began to happen. Guess what? Every born-again child of God sitting here this morning, even these little boys, if they're saved, if they've been born again by the Spirit of God, they have the Holy Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit of God. Every one of us has the same power, the same Holy Spirit that they had. The Bible simply says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. So the power. We have the same power that those early disciples had. Then look at the plan. How do you evangelize the world? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the word there literally means to make disciples. Go ye therefore and make this. In other words, preach the gospel. Get people saved. Amen. Dr. C.C. Ryrie years ago wrote a book called Balancing the Christian Life. And in the introduction he made this statement. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. And by the way, if you've ever tried to do that, that's not easy. Amen. And what's the main thing for the church? Get people saved. Amen. Go ye into all the world. Teach all nations. In other words, to make disciples, to preach the gospel, to have converts. And that's God's plan. Then after they get saved, baptize them. Amen. And by the way, baptism never saved anyone.
Right.
Baptism doesn't help save us.
Right.
But it identifies us with God's people, and it shows to a lost and dying world that we are giving the testimony that we have died to sin, we are being buried, and being resurrected to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
And then after they baptize, teach them.
Amen.
In other words, teach them what I'm teaching you, and teach them to do what I'm teaching you to do.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, that still works. Amen.
Amen.
All over America, Brother Porter mentioned 300 churches that the Bales and have helped us to establish through the various missionaries with the USA missions and so forth. And you could go to the Philippines and you could find literally not hundreds but thousands of independent Baptist churches that have been started in the last 40 years.
Amen.
In other words, they're going and they're teaching them. By the way, listen to this. It doesn't stop there. Those churches that are being started on the mission field and the churches that have been started in the USA by the Ministry of USA Missions and so forth, they're giving the missions. They're sending missionaries and so forth. For instance, the churches in Korea are sending out great numbers of missionaries. Churches in the Philippines. A few years ago now, I preached a conference in Cagayan de Oro in Mindanao. And the name of the conference was this, Mindanao Conference on World Evangelization. And there were 250 senior pastors that were associated with Brother Bruce Rice and them over there. And Brother Rice's original church in the Philippines had sponsored this church. And every one of them promised they would go back home, present faith promise to their church, and urge their people to send out missionaries.
Amen.
You see, mission doesn't stop when we start a church, amen?
Amen.
Because that church does it. Okay, what's God's plan? God's plan is to win souls. God's plan is to baptize the believers. God's plan is after they get saved and baptized, then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you.
Amen.
But then not only do you have the power and the plan, but thank God you have a great promise.
Amen.
Look at the end of verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always even to the end of the world. You have a great promise. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure glad God didn't say, okay, Don, I want you to go to Japan, just do the best you can. I want you to go to New Zealand, do the best you can. Now, the best we could do would be a total failure. But he says, lo, I am with you always. You remember when God was speaking to Moses about going down to Egypt, deliver the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage? And Moses had all kind of reasons and so forth of why he couldn't do it. But Moses asked the question, who am I? Who am I? And by the way, you can read that whole passage. God never did tell Moses who Moses was. But he did something better than that. He said, Lord, he said, I'm going with you, Moses.
Amen.
It's my work. I'm going to do it. You're an instrument. Amen. Okay. So he gives the great promise. Lord, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, think about this, okay? Jesus said very clearly, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He commanded world evangelization. Can we evangelize the world in our generation? That question was asked to me in 1964. I went before my church and said, I know God's called me to the mission field, and eventually I will be resigning my position as associate pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church, and we'll be going to Japan as missionaries. The next morning, in my job as an associate pastor, one of the big jobs was outreach. So the next morning, I went to the World Home Bible League that was on the south side of Chicago. And the purpose of forming the World Home Bible League was to get the Bible into the homes, every home in the world. And that's a big goal, amen. And by the way, they did a good job of doing it. And what I would do, I would go and get Bibles for free. And then as I was visiting, if I found a home that didn't have a Bible, then I'd put one of those Bibles in it. The founder of the Home Bible League was in the office that day, and he saw me. And I'd met him two or three times before. But he said, Don, why don't you come in and have a cup of coffee? So we went in, and he had some coffee there, and I think we even had a donut. That even makes coffee a whole lot better, you know. And we sat there for a few minutes. And so I told Brother Chap about what God is doing in my heart, that I was going to Japan as a missionary. I never will forget. Brother Billy looked at me and he said, Don, do you believe we can evangelize the world in our generation? And you know, I cannot for the life of me remember what I told him. Now, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm confident I did not say, I don't know. Okay. I'm sure I must have expressed some opinion. Opinions are like noses. We all have one. Amen. But honestly, I cannot remember what I said. But I do remember that day visiting, going to the hospital, doing some door knocking, and thinking of Dr. Chapman's question. Do you believe we can evangelize the world in our generation? And all of a sudden, I thought, it's not for ours to sit around and figure out whether we can do it or not. God said, do it.
Amen.
It's our job to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how in the world can we evangelize the world? By the way, this Great Commission is as much binding on China Lake Baptist Church as it was these 11 disciples.
Amen.
You see, the Great Commission was not given to them uniquely. It was given to them as representatives of disciples in every generation.
Amen.
How can we evangelize the world? Real quick, number one, if we're going to evangelize the world, somebody has to go.
Amen.
Somebody has to go. Isaiah had a great vision of the thrice holy God. Now I saw the Lord high and lifted up. What a great vision it was, right? Had his sins cleansed. And then he began to say, woe is me, for I am undone. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. And he had his sins cleansed. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here's my sister, send her. Now that's what a lot of fellas say, amen. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, send me.
Amen.
And guess what God said? Go and tell this people. I never will forget a young preacher years ago that I met. Time after time he said to me, Brother Seth, I'd give anything if I could be a missionary. I'd love to go to mission field. I'd really, you know, I don't know how many times he said that to me. Finally one day we were eating lunch, and I said to him, since you want to go so badly, why don't you just go? He said, oh, I can't go. I haven't been called. I said, I'll tell you what. Resign your church. Find a mission field that really needs missionaries. Do your deputation. Go out there. Win souls. Start some churches. Train some leaders. And even if God didn't call you, he'll probably forgive you, okay? And you know, if we're not careful, we get the idea that God has to do some phenomenal thing to get us to go to the mission field. Wait a minute. It's right here in the book, amen?
Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe we ought to have a special call to stay here in America. Somebody has to go. There's no other way. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Nobody's going to get saved until somebody preaches the gospel to them. Number two, somebody has to pray. And somebody as well said, you can do more after you pray, but you can't do more before you pray than to pray. You've got all these missionaries out here. They send these letters. Guess why they do that? Well, they don't have anything else to do but write letters. No. Number one, they're reporting to you what they've done. Number two, probably every letter back there will have some kind of a prayer request.
Amen.
And they're saying, pray for us. Amen. By the way, more things have been accomplished by prayer than this world will ever know. Give you a simple testimony. My wife and I, our two children, went to Japan in 1965, February of 1965. And by the way, I've got my 50-year pin here, okay?
Amen.
We've been in missions 50 years now. I've been preaching 60 years. But our sending church was the Calvary Baptist Church in Harvey, Illinois. And every Saturday night, we had a men's prayer meeting. Now, I remember going to that prayer meeting the night before we left on Sunday, Saturday night. And there was probably 12, 15 men there, something of that nature. I'll never forget those men saying, Brother Sis, you're going to Japan. But you can be sure every Saturday night at 8 o'clock, there'll be some men here from Calvary Baptist Church that will be praying for you. Now, that was good news then. When we got to Japan, we found out that 12 o'clock Saturday night in Japan was 10 o'clock Sunday morning. I'm sorry, 8 o'clock Saturday night in Harvey, Illinois was 10 o'clock Sunday morning in Japan. You know what that meant? That meant every time I'd stand to teach or to preach, there were some people there praying for me. By the way, that may be the reason they understood my poor Japanese and got saved, okay? No, but seriously, God did some unbelievably miraculous things in those early days. And I believe from the depth of my heart that much of it is credited to the fact that people prayed.
Amen.
So if we're going to evangelize the world, and by the way, it's not our set around to figure out whether we can do it or not. God said do it. So it's our job to do it. Amen.
Amen.
If we're going to do that, then somebody has to give.
Amen.
Somebody has to go. Somebody has to pray. But somebody has to give.
Amen.
And that's what faith promise is all about. I want you to turn your Bibles real quickly back over to the passage that Brother Bales read this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're just going to key in on just one verse there, verse 7. You have your Bibles open, so look at that with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. I want you to, I'm going to give you time to open your Bible because I want you to read it with me, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. You have your Bibles open? Okay. Probably all of you have the same version, so let's read it together, okay? Read it with me, will you? Go ye therefore. I'm sorry, not the wrong word. Okay. I've still got the Great Commission, okay? Verse 7. Every man, come on all together, okay? Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay? Now this time, I want you to just read the first two words with me, okay? All together. Every man. All right, once again. Every man. Now, let's assume that you're reading through 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Both chapters are about giving to missions. That's the subject of the two chapters. And you get down to verse 7 in chapter 9. And Paul says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Who do you think Paul expected to give something?
Every man.
Okay. And all the women said, amen. Let the men give. Do you think it just means gender there?
No.
No. Every man. Every woman. Every boy. Every girl. Okay. And by the way, one of the best things we can do is teach our children to give. Dr. Randy Alcorn has a web page called Generous Giving Page. And on that I read this testimony of John D. Rockefeller, the world's first billionaire. Kind of hard to imagine somebody being a billionaire, amen? It's pretty hard to imagine somebody being a millionaire, okay? For some of us, it can be hard to think about being a thousandaire, okay? But think about it. The world's first billionaire. Here's his testimony. He delivered a little newspaper called The Grit. I used to deliver that as a boy, okay? Now, John D. Rockefeller, older than me, okay? But the grit lasted a long time. First time he came home on Friday, he had 10 dimes. That was his part for delivering the paper, okay? His mother set him down at the kitchen table, put those 10 dimes on the kitchen table. And then she picked up one of them, and she said, now, John, this dime belongs to the Lord. Now, here was his testimony. If my mother had not taught me to tithe my first dollar, I would have had a hard time tithing my first million. And I guarantee you, there's a Baptist preacher somewhere that was very happy his mother taught him how to tithe. Amen. Now, he gave literally hundreds of millions of dollars for world evangelization and Bible schools and so on and so forth. But he learned as a little boy, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. If we're going to evangelize the world, and we can,
amen,
then somebody has to go. And God may be speaking to your heart today about going. By the way, if he does, don't run from it. Run to it. Amen. God knows where you need to be better than anybody else in the world. God knows better where you need to be than you need.
Right.
Somebody has to go. Somebody has to pray. I used to say, and I'm sure all of us have said this, some can go, some can pray, some can give. But the reality is, all of us can go. All of us can't go to New Zealand. All of us can't go to Japan. All of us can't go to Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere. But all of us can go somewhere. We can go in the next room in our home and tell somebody about the Lord, maybe. We can go across the street, or we can go across town, or we can go to other neighborhoods and so forth. But all of us can go somewhere. And by the way, isn't it wonderful? All of us can pray.
Amen.
Come boldly to the throne of grace. God has exhorted us to pray. And then all of us can give. And that's the way China Lake Baptist Church has been and is making a difference in the world, and in the future can be.
Amen.
Going and praying and giving. And we can do our part in world evangelization.
Amen.
And guess what? These early disciples did a good job. By the end of the first century, Paul could say, and all of the world has heard the gospel. Okay? They did a good job.
Amen.
Now, 2014, it's our chance.
Amen.
And we have as much a responsibility as they had.
Amen.
Look at it again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Isn't it wonderful to be involved in something that is very successful?
Amen.
See, God's plan always works.
Amen.
I love the passage that you used last year. We are laborers together with God.
Amen.
We get a chance to work together, and that's wonderful.
Amen.
But better than that, we are laborers together with God.
Amen.
Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, much you do may be vain. Amen. It amounts to nothing. But your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, just for a minute, and then Pastor will come and he'll conduct the invitation as God would have him to do. But just for a moment, I want you to think about that. God has commanded world evangelization. Now think about it individually. What is my part in God's plan? See, God has a part for every born-again child of God. What is my part in God's plan for world evangelization? Now, am I being faithful with that? Brother Porter, you come and pray for us, would you? And then you'll conduct the invitation as God leads you.
Heavenly Father, we sure do thank you for reminding us again that we can reach the world if we'll simply do it your way. And God, I pray that every person that's here this morning will give not only their tithe, but will give for world evangelization. And I pray, God, that you will continue to bless our church, bless every person that gives, and God, I pray that we'll be cheerful givers, and God, that this year we'll do exactly what you want us to do, and we'll be able to even do more to reach more of the world for Christ than we ever have. And God, we know that you're a great God and you can do great things. And God, I pray that everyone here will just do what you want them to do this year in this area of world evangelization. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please?